little bit. Anybody ever said that to you? You said to somebody else, can't you just please lighten up a little bit? I heard it once, just once. I'm just kidding. Right, but the other idea about spontaneity is we lose spontaneity because when we're afraid, when we experience loneliness or when we want to have control, like we can't handle unpredictability. We can't handle instability. We can't handle the unknown. Or we want things to be stable. We want them to be knowable. We want them to be predictable. Therefore, it's difficult for us to explore new things. We want them to be safe and knowable. And therefore, we also miss out on a lot of things. So if we want to have mastery and control, the nightmare we have is uncertainty. Not only is there loneliness, not only is there also lack of spontaneity, but there's this real feeling or this groping kind of monster in the closet of uncertainty. Here's what we mean by that. Those of us who want control, actually all of us, we can't predict what's going to happen. That's no breaking news, right? We just can't control what's going to happen. So because we can't control what's going to happen, sometimes we shut down on making decisions. I call that process paralysis. Process paralysis. We're so busy trying to predict and manipulate and process and control the outcomes, we actually don't make any decision at all. It's kind of like stuck in this mire of uncertainty. You with me so far? Some of you know that kind of person. The opposite extreme can be true, though, too. Not only is our greatest nightmare uncertainty, but I've got news for you. The opposite end of the spectrum is other people's nightmares about being with you because you can tend to be a little bit overbearing, we can be a little overwhelming, and we can be a little bit of a dictator. Now, this is the time in the story where you can actually begin to nudge people next to you. Like, you're allowed to do that in this particular sermon series, all right? Just don't say out loud, are you listening? Like, sometimes we think, oh, I wish so-and-so was here to hear this sermon. I have news for you. That so-and-so is often you, and somebody else in this church is thinking, I hope so-and-so is hearing it. Now, I forget where I was, right? Sometimes, again, we're lonely, we lose uncertainty, we lose the joy of the spur of the moment, right? And we sometimes can be very, very condemning. If you have this controlling person in your life, you know that they've made you feel condemned, right? Because this person makes other people feel condemned. Thinking back to my own situation with my family, and kind of just picking up the house and, please, dear God, can there not be chaos and stuff all over the place when I get home, right? As I mentioned before, the kids always felt like they couldn't get it right. They felt like they weren't enough. And my wife, months or years after that particular season, would say, you know, I kind of felt like I was under your thumb. I kind of felt like you thought, like, she's 41 years old. She's highly competent, highly educated, in a great, great general management position. She can do things really, really well. But in a controlling environment with a controlling spouse, even though they're highly capable of doing a job right, they can still feel incompetent, judged, and condemned by those of us who can be a little bit controlling. Some of us have felt that, right? When we control others, they feel judged. They feel like we think they're stupid. You might think that's hyperbole, but it's actually true. They might feel like they're stupid and incompetent. If this is you, or if it's someone else you know, the problem emotion we experience is worry and anxiety. Imagine that. If we're trying to control everything, the problem emotion is worry. I would add in there kind of anxiety, right? Because we're worried that our needs aren't going to be met. I'm afraid of something, therefore I control lots of things in order to have my particular needs met. And we have worry and uncertainty and anxiety because we're worried about our needs not being met. We're worried, whatever it is that thing you're afraid of, we're worried that fearful thing is actually going to become true. So we seek to control our environment, we seek to control people, seek to control the outcomes, and when we realize we can't control, we worry about it even more. So here's that vicious cycle. We worry about it more, we can try to control it more, we realize we can't control it, which leads to more worry and anxiety, and then we take our worry, frustration, anxiety out on other people, and we end up condemning them. Am I alone? Just one hand here. If somebody else here is like this at all, we've got five. We've got great odds in here. That's good. Right, but here's the good news, right? So kind of diving into the Christian Needs video and diving into the story here. We're not alone. I mean, amen that we're not alone. Controllers, and I'm not calling you control freaks. I'm just saying those of us who need a little bit of control and we're worried and we've got anxiety and we condemn people and we feel lonely. And for those of you on the receiving end of all that, there is good news. So how does Jesus interface with our need for control? Let's look at this. Page 891. It's our story for the day. We're in Mark chapter 4. We're going to kind of blow through the story and then kind of basically look at two clear points on this. The context of this story in Mark is that Jesus, for several days, actually for the first four chapters, Jesus has already shown himself highly capable of being God. He's healed lepers, he's healed the blind, he's healed the sick, he's cast out demons. He's done numbers and numbers of things to prove himself as preeminent. And we come to this particular story. On that day, it's a day after lots of teaching, when evening had come, he, being Jesus, told them, the disciples, "Let's cross over to the other side of the sea," that's the Sea of Galilee. So they left the crowd and took him along, since he was in the boat. And other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking over the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. He, Jesus, was in the stern, sleeping on the cushion. So they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to die?" He got up, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Silence, be still." The wind ceased and there was a great calm. Then he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And they were terrified and asked one another, "Who then is this? Even the wind and the sea obey." So here's the context. It's the end of the day. Jesus has been teaching and healing all day long. He's tired, and for some odd reason, the disciples are tired too. We don't know what they've done, if anything, other than be bystander listeners. And if I was in your shoes, sometimes if you're a bystander listening here, I think you might be tired too. But stay awake, because here we go, right? They're tired after a long day. They've been healing. They've been working through stuff. Jesus says this phrase, "Let's go across the sea." And it means two things. It's time for a little bit of a break, guys. Other people have been controlling our day. We need to step back and have a little bit of predictability and kind of have a break. Not only do they need a break, but Jesus is going to send them 7 miles across the sea to another town, not a Jewish area, but an area that's pretty awkward and scary for Jews to go to, because he really wants to minister to them. So they go across the side of the sea. And before they get in the boat, like some of the things they could be thinking, it's evening time. It's going to get dark. Like, who knows what's going to happen out there on the sea at nighttime? Now, they are competent boatsmen. Most of them have been boatsmen or fishermen their entire life. They know how to control the environment. They know what to predict. They know what they're stepping into. Like, they know that they can handle this. Some of us have been there, too. We're headed into the storm, or we're headed into the sea, and we're headed into work, or headed home to family, and we've been there before. We're good at what we do, and we know we can control the environment by using all the resources we've always used. But there's something that's going to happen that they're not aware of coming. There's a storm coming, and often storms come for us in a very unpredictable way. Here's the humorous part of this next point. So the first point of how in the world Jesus interfaces with us is that invite him along intentionally. Invite Jesus along intentionally. If you struggle with the need for control, make sure Jesus is in your boat on purpose and you're connecting with him intentionally. Here's what I mean by this. Verse 36. So they plan to be in control, but there's this crucial moment. Verse 36 says this. They left the crowd and took him along because he was in the boat, right? It's as if in English language and also in the Greek, it's as if they take him along just because he's there, right? They don't really, in their minds and hearts, they don't really need him to be there because they've done this before. They've been in control before in storms. They've got great resources. They've got great skills. They are competent human beings. Why bring Jesus along intentionally, right? Here's my caution for us. Sometimes I wonder, if we function with Jesus as kind of like buddy Jesus or boyfriend Jesus, we know that God is there. As believers in Christ, we simply know he's there, and that's enough. Like we go about our day, We go about the things we need to accomplish with just Jesus as a side tangent, or like he's just along for the ride, right? Here's what I'd like you to consider. For all of us, or certainly for those of us who need to be in control, like we're headed into a day of worry. We're headed into a day of potentially condemning people. We're headed into a day of feeling lonely, stressed out, wishing we were in control, and hurting others in the process. Like, that's your potential day as someone who needs to be in control. And what I'm suggesting is how Jesus interfaces with us who need control is take him along on purpose. Don't let just the fact that Jesus is there and about and part of your life be a tangent. Like, ask him to come along. Where are my notes here? Ask him to have control of your conversations. Ask him to have control of your decisions. Ask him to influence and have control of your outcomes. Like, when you're struggling with your day as a controller, ask him to make sense of this day. So for me, as I'm leaving for work, not knowing the storm that's going to hit any day of the day that I come to work, like, a habit for me now, because I know that I struggle with a little bit of control, is to say, Lord, would you please be in control of this conversation? I also say, Lord, would you please get glory out of me today in my conversations, in my projects, in my programs, whatever it might be. So I say, Lord, would you be in control? God, would you please be glorified by me today? And what's the other thing I say? Something about, Lord, would I be a part of your will? Would your will be done through me? Like, since I know I can't control things, I'm inviting Jesus to steer the ship. So they get in the boat, right? Verse 37. A great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking over the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. Now, this is common. Storms are common in Galilee. It's surrounded by mountains. They always come. So the disciples could have easily been aware that there could have been a storm. But not this particular storm, right? Storms are common for us every day as controlling people or just normal human beings. Storms often come, and how do we respond in the storm? This is a particularly different storm that they actually can't control. It's a unique storm. Swamped means the boat is potentially under imminent threat of being sunk already. Like, there's an imminent threat that they're going to drown. This is the Greek language. You ever feel swamped or overwhelmed? You ever feel like the things I'm trying to control are just not controllable, and there's collateral damage or shrapnel flying anywhere, and I feel overwhelmed and swamped by whatever it is that you're overwhelmed or swamped by? I find it interesting that there's not a lot of, like, under-the-hood information here. Like, we don't know how long they tried to row on their own. We don't know how much they relied, and I hope this verbiage connects with you. We don't know how much they tried to rely on their own resources to control the situation. They've been in storms and hardship before where they're sort of out of control, but they're going back to what they're defaulting to the steering other steps that they've always done before. They're trying to row themselves out of the storm. Have you ever been swamped and you're just trying to row yourself out of the storm with all the resources and solutions you've had before? Seems a lot like life, huh? So in their fear and being out of control, they actually do call upon Jesus. We know they're out of control because they just cry out for help. If they hadn't needed help, they would have just kept rowing, like many of us just keep rowing when we want control. So here's what they say. In their fear and being out of control, they do call upon Jesus. Verse 38. He was in the stern, sleeping on the cushion. Now, by the way, this is about a 27 or 25-foot long boat. The stern goes up in the air a little bit, and there's usually a cushion there for the stern's person. It's not your 10-foot flat-bottom John boat. Any bass fishermen in here? Do bass exist in California? Yeah, okay, so this is not your average flat-bottom Johnny boat, right? This is somewhat of a large boat, which tells us that this storm, this unpredictable, uncontrollable thing in life is big. And some of us have that. We sometimes just ignore the fact that it's too uncontrollable. We just keep trying to control it. So they wake him up. He's in the stern, sleeping on the cushion. So they wake him up and said to him, "Teacher!" They weren't gentle about it like the video. "Don't you care that we're going to die?" The problem is that they didn't say something like, "Hey, sorry to wake you. Any ideas? Can you help us? We know you're God. We've seen you do miracles. Can you just get involved in here? They didn't talk about it like that, right? Their first response, some of us are like this. I'm like this. Their first response to being out of control is fear. It's worry and fear, which turns into blame and condemnation. And we see this in the fact that they say, teacher, all the scholarship about the Greek says that this is a very rude term. It's a rude expression towards Jesus. Again, they've seen him heal lepers, cast out demons, heal the sick, heal someone with a fever. They know he's got some clout to do something powerful. But in their fear, and I wonder if this is you, in their fear, concern, and anxiety, like we said in the bulletin notes, the natural response can be condemnation. So when these guys are out of control, they condemn God, saying, are you asleep? What's your problem? Are you blind? Don't you care? Like, some of us do feel like God's asleep on the job with the things we can't control, right? It hurts sometimes, but God is awake. So it's remarkable. How many times have we experienced God as bigger and better than any problem we could ever encounter? How many times have we ever experienced God as bigger and better than our greatest plans, than our best solutions, our best resources, our best fix-it controlisms, right? And he's already proven himself. And so they yell at Jesus, and Jesus wakes up. Again, they actually yell at Jesus. In their fear, their response is condemnation. Friends, if you struggle with control, I just want to help you remember that sometimes our natural response is fear and condemnation, and other people are collateral damage. So he says, or verse 39, he got up, and he rebukes the wind and said to the sea, silence, be still, and there was calm. And then he said to them, it's actually a compassionate way. Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? So the first point for those of us in terms of how Jesus interfaces with our control is that take Jesus along intentionally. But the second point about how Jesus interfaces us with us is that he's in the boat right now with us. He's in the boat with our need for control. So he interfaces us by revealing that actually he's the one who's really in control. Like, they couldn't do anything about their situation. Some of us, we can't do anything about our fear, our lack of trust, our pain, our baggage that causes us to want to be in control. They're at the end of the rope. I want to encourage us to think that maybe we're at the end of the rope and we're still trying to solve our controllingness. And Jesus is saying, I'm the only one who's ultimately able to be in control. I'm the only one who's all-sufficient Savior. So friends, let me ask you this compassionately. What's your storm? Or who's that person? Or what's that boss or that employer or employee that you're trying to control? And trying to control is not working and it's ruining you and it's probably ruining them instead of us trusting God. I picture Jesus asking all of us the very same question. And again, picture him. He's in your boat already. You've intentionally invited him to control and influence everything, and he's in your boat with your fear, concern, and your control. And I picture him saying this to us, why are you afraid? What are you afraid of that's driving your need for control? This is a really helpful question to actually ask yourself. Like, when my house is messy or was messy, like, what's my fear? When I'm freaking out on my family because I want to be on time somewhere, and they say, why are you so worried about being on time? And I say, I have no idea. I don't have a healthy reason. Can we just be on time? Like, I have to stop and ask myself, what the heck am I afraid of? Am I afraid of the other person's approval and getting their comfort? See, there's three aisles in one. What am I afraid of that I have to be on time? Well, the reason is my mom was late to many, many things. I got dropped off late. I got picked up late, and she forgot a lot of things. Boom, that's why I'm afraid of being late. What are you afraid of, which is causing your control? And Jesus says, I have the power to fix the storm. Not only disease, sickness, but the environment. Like, Jesus has control over the wind and the waves, which means he's got power enough to influence your day as a control person. He's got power enough to influence the conversations. He's got power enough to make sense of the crazy that we want control. He has power enough to influence the outcomes that we are just wringing people dry trying to get our outcomes, right? How often do we just hold tightly to people or wring our plans out of them because they're not producing what we want? And Jesus is saying, I can produce better outcomes for you than you hurting people. He's powerful enough to do it better than us. Let me close on this. This is a little bit deeper here. On a deeper level, Jesus has the ability to transform us and not just make your day better. Jesus can provide for the things that we're trying to get mastery over to provide for ourselves. Like, he can heal that fear. He can satiate or kind of work with things so that you don't have to have mastery over it. He's going to provide. Jesus can provide for whatever it is we're holding on tight to and controlling. And lastly, he can provide healing for that thing that causes the hurt, that causes the fear, that stimulates the need for control. So for those of us who need this control, and I hope for all of us, I'm begging you to intentionally invite him along in the boat, not just take him because he's already there. And lastly, when you feel the need for control and you've got those triggers of pain and anxiety, just remember that he's in the boat right there with you, and all you got to do is say, Lord, would you help control this? Would you do it? Not me. So if for some reason today you've got things that you need prayer for, you need to release some control, or you want to walk with this guy named Jesus as a follower, I'll be over on the side. I'd love to pray with you afterwards. Let's pray. God, thanks for steering the boat even when you don't even have to have a handle on it. Thanks for steering and controlling the environment and the demons in our life and the wounds and the hurts and the concerns, God. You are bigger than anything we could ever fabricate to meet our needs. So I pray a special blessing on this church, Lord, that we would be keenly aware of what we're trying to control, but would you gently show us what it is we're hurting from and fearing that causes the control? Amen.